This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Almos Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the fabulous Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a tremendous service department that backs it up every step of the way. Inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's bring in Patrick Murphy now, joining us from Bucknuts 247. Patrick, how are you?
I am good. We are on the road from Columbus to State College, so eventually we'll get there, and tomorrow we'll get over to the game. Should be a fun one.
Yeah, okay. So let's get to what you've seen to this point. Five rather nondescript games to start, but then Oregon. What did you see, pro and con, in the Oregon game?
I think, you know, you go on the road to the number, what is now the number one team, was then the number four team in the country, in a hostile environment, you lose by one. In a vacuum, that's not a bad result, right? And I think that that perspective is relevant, especially as you head into another top four matchup on the road in a hostile environment. I think you did see some issues defensively, some things that maybe were exposed that hadn't been noticed as much in those first five games that you mentioned. Obviously, the big plays that Ohio State gave up in the past game, something that hadn't happened really much through the first five games. And then the lack of pressure on the defensive line was a concern. You know, Dylan Gabriel, the Oregon quarterback, wasn't sacked once, was pretty comfortable in the pocket throughout most of that game. And so Ohio State had an off week to work on some of those things. It was tough to really read how much they improved against a Nebraska offense that didn't challenge much a week ago. But for me, those are the things that I'm going to be looking at tomorrow in this game, because obviously Penn State's offense will challenge more. And then on the offensive side of the ball, things had been going pretty well for Ohio State, but you lose left tackle Josh Simmons, who's now out for the season. And that seemed to complicate matters offensively for Ohio State a week ago as they struggled to move the ball against Nebraska. Then you lose the left tackle who stepped in, Zen Mikulski, who also got hurt against Nebraska. And now you've probably got to reshuffle the offensive line again. So how that looks, we're still unsure. They were pretty quiet this week about what the offensive line will look like. It took until Wednesday for Ryan Day to even say that Zen Mikulski will probably be out for this game. But it certainly isn't the unit that Ohio State went into the season hoping to have.
All right, so they do have options there because they took Jackson and made him the left tackle and Montgomery the left guard. Is it also not out of the realm of possibly that Fryer plays left tackle and Fitzpatrick moves up on the right side? Is that another possibility?
Certainly. I think this week you kind of had to experiment with everything and try and find the best option. I'm actually a bit surprised that we didn't hear about or see more testing of different guys at left tackle a week ago. Even if Zen had gone out and played pretty well, I think you just want to see what you've got. And I assume they worked on that in practice, but even early in the week last week, Ryan Day was saying that Zen Mikulski was going to be the guy, as opposed to, well, we're going to look at some different options there. Now you're forced to look at some different options. I imagine it will be Donovan Jackson moving to left tackle and somebody else, maybe Luke Montgomery stepping in at left guard. But that's not as easy as just snapping your fingers and it works, right? I mean, it's been since Donovan Jackson's a senior now, it's been since his freshman year, since I think he even played some tackle when he was kind of the sixth offensive lineman for Ohio State. So that, you know, how it works in practice is great, but then you've got to execute it in the game, and you're now going up against Abdul Carter and the rest of this Penn State defensive line. And, you know, it's not the ideal time for Ohio State to have to be trying to figure this out from a Buckeye perspective.
All right, so Will Howard is a player that I've only seen on TV playing when he played with Kansas State, and I was always impressed with him. I liked him a lot. You see him now in person in practical application. What do you like about him at quarterback?
Yeah, I think, A, his veteran presence at this point in his career. He's a fifth-year senior. It's a stark difference for Ohio State from a year ago when you're breaking in Kyle McCord, who was a first-time starter who hadn't played a ton. So that just alone is noticeable. And then you've got not only his ability to throw, which I was a bit questioning coming into the season because watching him at Kansas State, he was good, not great, some careless turnovers. But playing with these Buckeye receivers, I think he's cleaned a lot of that up, and obviously the talent around him has grown. And then his ability to use those legs has changed this Ohio State offense quite a bit, especially as you bring in Chip Kelly, who likes to have a dual-threat quarterback to some degree. In the last two Ohio State quarterbacks, McCord and C.J. Stroud, really did not run. And even Justin Fields, when he was at Ohio State, they didn't use that a ton. So being able to use that and being willing to use it has been important. Not that Will Howard runs a ton. He's been mostly in the pocket passing the ball. But that ability is there. That threat is there. And you know, defenses have to prepare for it.
Right. He never had – I mean, look, I thought Vaughn was very good at Kansas State. But they're not Henderson or Judkins. Correct. What about the four wideouts I saw at USC to this point have been the four best I'd seen in combination to this point? These three, in my opinion, are better. What makes them a terrific receiving group?
Well, it starts with the recruiting. I mean, you look at Emeka Buka, Jeremiah Smith, and Carnell Tate all were top, I think, one, two, or three receivers in their class. And Jeremiah Smith, the freshman, was the top overall recruit, if you look at least the 24/7 sports rankings last year. So talent certainly not lacking from those three. And then just the way that Ohio State's run this wide receiver room under Coach Brian Hartline, the guy who played at Ohio State and played in the NFL for the Dolphins and the Browns. I mean, they've churned out receivers, as I'm sure you know, even going back before they were recruiting at such a high level, with guys like Terry McLaurin, who's now in the Commanders, Paris Campbell, who's kind of bounced around in the NFL, guys like that. So I think there is a culture in that wide receiver room of, A, you bring in talent, but B, that talent has to be willing and able to work and do the things that they need. And they've found the guys that fit all of those things really well. And so you've got a group, as you mentioned, that not only is talented, but also willing to put in the work. Even a guy like Jeremiah Smith, who continues to, you know, impress as a freshman, you wouldn't know it in talking to him and the way he, you know, goes about his business. It's just a guy who's been able to stay very humble.
Yeah, I've done this job for decades, broadcasting Penn State games. I'm well aware of your history of wide receiver. Well aware. Okay, I got it.
Well, I didn't bring up K.J. Hill, who had the late touchdown pass from Dwayne Haskins on that screen pass at Beaver Stadium. So I tried to be merciful there at least a little bit.
That's perfectly fine. I have no problem with that. Defensively, I felt to me in watching, and it's only on tape as opposed to you seeing it in person, but I thought the difference I saw in Ohio State's defense between Oregon and Nebraska was I thought the defensive tackle play was better. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Tyleek Williams, who, you know, is probably going to be a high draft pick after this season, probably could have been a decently high draft pick had he left after last year, had just come back. He'd missed two games prior to the Oregon game. And I thought he was effective in the Oregon game, but certainly looked to have his footing back more last week against Nebraska. And they did some different things. As simple as this sounds, I know you guys are very familiar with Larry Johnson from his time there, but
yeah, we're
some
friends.
Of the things that he has done seem to be a bit outdated. And, you know, Ohio State was not doing twists or stunts. They weren't bringing extra pressure, simulated pressure as much. You know, Nick Saban called the defensive line antiquated, and I think that's a fair assessment. And, you know, this is not an indictment on Larry Johnson. Obviously, he is one of the best defensive line coaches to ever do it. But I do think that maybe with this group you needed to do a little bit more, and you started to see that up front against Nebraska last week, and I think that certainly helped. Now, again, that was a Nebraska offensive line that isn't as talented as Oregon or Penn State, so we'll see how it works, but you know, it's routine things that Ohio State was not doing, and I think when you started doing them, you started to see the guys up there have a little bit more success.
A guy that really impresses me is Simon. They gave him the block zero for a reason. He earned it. What about his level of play?
Yeah, he has been very important. He missed the first game for the Buckeyes, but since he comes back, he's a leader of the defense. He's the green dot guy, and you know, probably played his best game against Nebraska. There have been some issues tackling early on in the season. Now, this is a guy who was a starter 3 years ago before Jim Knowles came in and started to play that two linebacker system that the Buckeyes play. And despite the fact that he was the third man in the linebacking room, you know, stuck with it, was available whenever they needed guys with injuries and whatnot, and now is getting the chance to kind of be the leader in his fifth season. So, you know, an impressive player, a tough player, but really I think his leadership and some of the things he does off the field are as important as what he can do, you know, physically and on the field for the Buckeyes.
When I was at Ohio State to broadcast basketball in January, that was the weekend that Caleb Downs committed. I got him from Alabama. What kind of difference maker has he been to this point?
It's interesting. If you ask a lot of Buckeye fans, like, they're very disappointed with Caleb Downs, and I think it's just because the numbers aren't the same as what they were at Alabama, where he led the Crimson Tide in tackles last year. But if you really watch the games, he certainly has made an impact, even when he's not the first guy getting to the ball or whatnot. You know, they can move him around in the secondary. He can play up closer to the line of scrimmage. He can do it all, and the one thing that Ryan Day's talked about is his ability to take the film, take meetings to the field, and diagnose things quickly. You know, he may be a key factor in terms of trying to slow down, at least, Tyler Warren. I don't know if he'll be the only one tasked with that, and I don't know what success he'll have because no one seemed to have success with that tight end, but I do believe that Downs will be at least part of the conversation in terms of defending a guy like that, but yeah, I think he's probably, again, brought more than the statistics to the position, and you know, the experience of playing at Alabama and playing in a college football playoff, winning an SEC title last year, certainly invaluable.
But he also returned punts last year for Alabama against Nebraska. I believe that's the first time this season he's back returning punts. Were you surprised he wasn't using that role earlier? Because I know Innes is another five-star wideout they've been using, but were you surprised it took that long to put him back there?
I think Ohio State thought, and I understand the thinking, that there are enough guys, enough talented players that aren't, you know, key to your offense or defense you can use in the return game. And you mentioned Brandon Innes. They've had a couple other guys as well that did some of the special teams returning early in the season. But I think it was a recognition during the bye week that, hey, we've got to kind of unload the clip here. And if Caleb Downs is better than Brandon Innes at doing this, you know, let's get him out there. They both did some returns, so it wasn't exclusively Caleb Downs last week. And Alabama did kind of the same thing. He didn't return a ton of kicks. They had some other guys return it. But he was out there when they needed to return, and you saw the results at times, including, I think, one for a touchdown, which Ohio State hasn't had since 2014. So I think that was a recognition of, hey, we've got to put our best guys out in the positions that they can make plays and let them go.
What's your view of Penn State, and what's your view of the crowd in Beaver Stadium?
I'll answer the second question first. That is the best environment I've been to in college football. Now, I haven't been to some of the SEC stadiums. Oregon was awesome, but it's fantastic there. My soon-to-be sister-in-law went to Penn State, so I have familiarity with all of that and the crowd and everything that goes into it. In terms of the team on the field, it's been impressive to watch this team this year, especially offensively. The new offensive coordinator, whose last name I've tried to pronounce multiple times.
Andy Koltunicki.
There you go. I like a lot of what he brought. I knew he was doing some good things at Kansas, but just schematically, you know, lining Tyler Warren up at that center position or whatever you want to call it against USC, the ways that they have used the guys to maximize their talent, I think is pretty impressive. And then defensively, I think Tom Allen's just picked up where Manny Diaz left off, and not surprising there given what we knew about Tom Allen from his time at Indiana and whatnot. This is a really good team, and you know I picked Penn State to win this game. I think it'll be very close, but this seems to be James Franklin's best shot at doing so against Ohio State, and maybe some of that is you're catching the Buckeyes, you know, like with some of the issues that I mentioned. But you know, I think this is one of the best teams in the country, no doubt.
And if you have any doubts, just call him Coach K. All right.
That's
what people
easier.
Do around here.
I also
here.
Couldn't spell it many times this week.
Right.
Google him multiple times.
That's what I'll tell people. I said, just call him Coach K. That's what some people around here do. Just like when I was talking with Paul Keels, and he asked about Bo Prabula. He says, how do you pronounce that? I said, just say it one time, Bo Prabula. Then the rest of the game, just do what I do. Snaps it back to Bo. After that, you're good. Yeah, it's like little tricks of the trade, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks so much. Safe trip to you guys on the way in. Can't wait to see you here tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Patrick Murphy, Bucknuts 247. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.